Rato.
Good morning. Good morning, Mr. Boltina.
I'm well. I'm well. How are you?
I'm good, and honorable members, and the GM will be connected.
I'm just taking this member's idea.
Okay.
because we don't seem to be getting a response for anybody to second the proposal for the adoption of the agenda. Yes. I said them to the next year to adopt to the agenda. Thank you very much for that. Honorable members, explaining the agenda. The main item for today is to engage on a matter that relates to performance in as far as the fourth quarter is concerned for the South African Forum. We take this opportunity, honorable members, to welcome to the ranks of the Tourism Portfolio Committee, Minister Honorable Elizabeth Chulu, who has been deployed to the Tourism Portfolio Committee to pursue the agenda of creating a united, democratic, non-governmental system, prosperous society through tourism. The agenda with minimal progress, which is in the context of the 10-year plan of the National Development Plan. The agenda which has been agreed by and large to focus on matters of poverty, inequality, and unemployment. Minister, we welcome you as the portfolio committee. We are a committee that has taken a decision, Minister, that this problem of poverty, inequality, and unemployment is more acute in the villages, the townships, and the small towns. We have therefore taken a decision that our first job as the portfolio committee will be to go where the problem is, the expression of poverty in the villages, in the townships, and the small towns. We have full confidence in you, Minister, that we have the collective year that you are going to be joining, with the full confidence that we'll implement the program that is aimed at achieving the strategic objectives that I have just outlined, that will work together as a team, whether I think that needs to be ironed out. We will always make sure that we iron them out in an assured manner, in a manner that increases coherence and unity of the portfolio community, and in a manner that is not uncommunistic, but in a manner that does not compromise or dilute the need for us to intensify our fight as a legislature to the committee for oversight. In us, Minister, I can tell you and assure you, you can be pretty rest assured that you have our support. It's the support that is based on the terms of making sure that as South Africans, we join our various political parties in Parliament, we pursue the mandate that is enshrined in the preamble of our South African Constitution, that we need to deal with the injustices of our past. Now, those injustices of our past, they also have the expression in the Constitution. So we welcome you, our people, our mother, our leader, in the struggle, in the revolution. We will continue to work with you. We are now going to give over to you, Minister, as we welcome you and your team, also accompanied by your Deputy Minister for my speech. We welcome you to the portfolio community. And before we give to Ndabetara, we will now give over to you, Minister, to lay the foundation for the presentation of the report on the first part of the program. Over to you, Honorable Minister.
Yes,
Lerato. Alela is now over to you to proceed. culture, because South Africa finds itself in the red from some of our core markets, which comes for the travel and tourist outsource, because of the families, and that they are them can't be dependent on the conditions when they visit. So we all that that has been the major issue in terms of the employment we can't remove the tribute to the COVID-19. So our hope now is if most of South Africans can vaccinate in numbers so that you can reach ahead and quickly. And then becomes a safe place for the perception from our communities to travel to the country. The second issue that we operate which is now the some of the public services combining or optimizing the money that various entities that we are doing, which are difficult, and in turn, difficult in costing and so on and so forth. So, FST is also one of those assistance entities. But the challenge is that the process is not moving speedily, and it becomes a bit difficult. For instance, build the resources to recruit and so on and so forth, and about the companies what capacities are available on the other entities and the ones to recruit and which is an the objective of making the entities then get diluted. But also, it creates a bit difficult in terms of the infrastructure that the country has globally in terms of the offices and so on and so forth. Some of those rentals or returns are now on month-to-month, but again, we don't want to go into the entity. Therefore, longer term, we need to find that we are. On the issue of the recruitment of the CEO, the process was started in the next December 2021. The advert was made in all the major publications and the real sources. We have a short business process through an external agency to make interviews processes. Unfortunately, the outcome of the process in terms of the caliber of the testimony of the CEO that we felt that the panel could and the board could take the in charge and in the recovery of the sector. Could be that on the day of interviews, the candidates also may appear to have prepared adequately for the sessions that we had with that social system. That's what we say when we are not even right. We could then look at the network. So the next step was then to invite the headhunting agencies to assist us. There are candidates out there that we need to apply because every high power candidates if we not necessarily apply, we want to be upcoming to whatever they are. So to help us to look at the specifically of the CEO. But also we feel there are two other members that are part of the interview panel. So if there are further questions, we will be able to deal with it. And then before we get to the actual presentation, which is the committee of the CEO and the ex
My video. Let me confirm if you can see my slide.
Yes, we can.
Thank you very much. Good morning, Honorable Chair and Honorable Committee Members. I would also like to take this opportunity to greet the Deputy Minister who is in the midst today, and the board chair and other board members and my colleagues. As both the DM and the chair have given the context as to the purpose of the presentation, today I'm accompanied by the entire executive team. We're going to take you through our performance for quarter four. And as you know that we're already on the second quarter of the current fiscal, and we're at a point where we are concluding the review of the entire year, but today we're just going to focus on just quarter four. The contents of the presentation, honorable members and honorable chair, is that we'll provide just a quick environmental analysis, which we think is very important to paint a picture of where we were in 2020, but also what informs some of the initiatives that we do as an entity as we lead the sector. towards recovery. We're also going to just briefly give you a sense of our performance for quarter four, looking at how we have driven the meeting of the targets against the KPIs that have been set in the quarter four, which is the previous year's APP. And then I'm going to just hand over to our CFO, who's going to take us through the financial performance of quarter four. And lastly, just to make a statement around our governance and compliance, I think on this slide, I think we would all know that we are 16 months into the pandemic, and the sector continues to feel that impact of the pandemic. Especially if you look at the accommodation sector and other value chain players within the tourism industry. There's a lot of uncertainty around the rate of vaccine rollout, which is going to play a very important role where whether the sector recovers. And it is not just our own vaccination rollout, but also the vaccination rollouts of our key source markets, which we've actually determined to be the key players or the key drivers of our sector recovery. And I think the other thing that I need to mention on the slide is we obviously continue to see the evolution of this pandemic that we are under by looking at new variants that are being introduced or being coming out. And this actually applies to both domestic and abroad. At some point, the rest of the world thought that these variants are found in South Africa. But we have seen countries experiencing multiple variants as well, or this pandemic coming with a new variants into the space. And I think the key takeout here is that we have made globally significant progress in terms of combating the virus. If you look at the key source markets which we have as South African tourism, we've seen that they have progressed really well. Some of them, in fact, reaching that herd immunity status. From a domestic point of view, the domestic markets, as honourable members and chair would recognise, that it still remains resilient. But however, it also remains key to the sector recovery. It's an important market that we all have to support. I think previously you would have seen that domestic market was just one market. If you look at the entire market portfolio that we had, in fact, in our interaction with the trade, one of the key issues that we used to drive as SA Tourism is the interest. Ensuring that the sector itself has got interest in the domestic market. We've seen on the domestic market the total overnight trips recovering at 50% lower than the pre-COVID-19 levels, which clearly shows you that there is a potential in this market driving the recovery. However, given where we are with the pandemic, things were rather slow, but we are encouraged to see that 50% recovery rate. From a holiday trips point of view, holiday trips have shown, and these are overnight, they've shown a much more slower recovery. I think it recovered at about 85% lower than the 2019, which simply says that even the domestic travelers, people in South Africans were not comfortable doing the overnight trips given where we were in that quarter. And you would remember, Chair and Honourable Members, that during that time, the country was going through a second wave, which has seen South Africa, devastation, people, dying, people being admitted to hospitals, and the numbers rising. And so the holiday trips showed a very slow recovery rate. We've seen the visiting friends and relatives recovering at 42% lower than 2019. It was encouraging, but also you would realize that you would recognize that that was a season of travel. People had traveled during the end of quarter three because that was a festive season. So beginning of quarter four, people were going back to their places of work. So hence that 42% recovery. The other last thing that I want to mention is that we've seen that the demand for day trips had also lessened during this period. And I guess the whole thing around the second wave had a huge impact on the ability of South Africans to actually travel their backyard and explore South Africa from a day trip point of view. The slide here just shows the changes in domestic trips across the four purposes. And I think it's important, Honorable Chair, Honorable Members, that always we refer to the purpose of visits that we track and we manage as South African Tourism. The first one being the meetings, incentives, conferences and exhibitions, followed by the visiting friends and family. But the most one that we try and influence from a marketing point of view is the holiday trips and the day trips. So you would see that by end of quarter three, the holiday trips have shown a sharp decline in terms of the panel. From the point,
I'm so sorry. Excuse me. I see your presentation is not moving on the screen from my side. I'm not quite sure. Are you on slide number one?
Can I have confirmation from others?
I'm saying your presentation on my screen from where I'm sitting, it's not moving at all. You are just on the content page since you started. I'm not sure on the other side of the members, whether can members follow you as you are going ahead.
Okay. President, I think even at our side, it's just standing on the first
Okay.
Yes, it's just the content. There's no movement.
Yes.
I also can see that, Chair.
I'm already on slide 6. Okay. I'm going to try and stop sharing and reshare and also close my video. Let's try that again.
You are lost now, Ms. Tembisu.
I'm here.
I thought maybe you have faked that.
if we can see my screen.
Proceed, no problem.
No, it's blank. We can't see anything.
Is it blank? Let's try again.
Cedra, can you try from your side if you are able to do that? Cedra? Hello, Ms. Van Nicker?
Sorry, Daddy, my
yeah, I was saying, okay. Can you try from your side if you can?
She was for it up now, because my screen also froze. I don't know what happened.
Okay.
Thank you. Thank you, Dr. Tuzwai. I am now on slide 6. I was saying if you look at from a transport point of view, the domestic airline, we've seen a reduction on domestic airlines of between 50% to 80%, but we've also seen an increase in terms of light motor vehicles, as you know, seeing that steadily increase since April 2020. And you will see that people have become a lot comfortable doing self-drive as opposed to just using air travel. But we know that a majority of our people within domestic tourism use the light motor vehicle to travel. Next slide. This slide, Honorable Chair, Honorable Members, talks to the accommodation sector. We've seen a steady recovery after the country moved from alert level 3 in August. You would see that by December, the income that was generated you know, from the accommodation sector recovered 60%, however, still lower than the 2019 levels. This, Honorable Members and Chair, still shows you the kind of struggles that the sector is going through. So the key takeout here is we are continuing to see the low occupancy. It remains a challenge, but also the reduced level of income. Slide 8. Thank you. And this slide just shows the movement between the change in the occupancy level in the accommodation sector, as well as the change in the daily rate. You can clearly see that the movements were already informed by the state in which the country was at. At this point in time, we were monitoring it from you know, alert levels. As the country shifted, you know, according to the risk-adjusted levels, we have seen the, you know, the occupancy levels as well dropping, as well as you know, those daily rates. You can move to the next slide. This slide, Honourable Members and Chair, speaks to the spend, which is an important matrix that we track because of its importance. I mean, if we talk about tourism economy, we would like by all means to actually maximize the spend, particularly the foreign direct spend. This is a spend that comes with international arrivals, but also from a domestic level. We've seen in, you know, from April 2020, when the country moved from alert level 4, the total retail spend recovered by about 15%. Still is very low compared to our 2019 levels. But we have seen ever since been tracking the retail spend, it has been steadily recovering. The key to note on this slide, Honorable Chair and Honorable Members, is that the food and the hospitality you know, sector still is severely impacted. Looking at the restaurants and the catering services, which have recovered between 40% to 60%. However, still low in terms of our 2019 levels. We can move to slide 10. This is just a slide that gives you a sense of the change in the food spend. Given those alert levels and the alert levels which the country was at, you can clearly see that takeaway and fast food here, you know, remained higher or recovered quite quicker than you know, the other areas or the other sectors within the food and beverage space. However, I think notable is the fact that restaurants and coffee shops have continued taking a knock, because that obviously includes it involves you know, sit-in. Thank you very much. Move to the next slide. And this slide just gives you a sense of the international. The previous one shows you gives you a sense of the international world. I mean, if you look at the continent, 90% of the total arrivals in this quarter came from the continent. This is both you know, land markets, Africa land markets, and the Africa air market. Honorable Members, this highlights obviously the importance of our regional travel in the sector recovery. The sector recovery plan, as approved by the cabinet, also states that if you look at the recovery of the sector, it will start inside out, meaning starting with domestic and moving out to regional, you know, Africa, as well as and now looking at international. And I think regional, the continent plays an important role because we see that the barriers to entry are still very lower compared to the international markets. If you on a normal year, the rest of the continent accounts to about 70% of the arrivals. So if I can actually refer to 2019 levels, the 10 million arrivals, international arrivals that we got, 70% of that 10 million comes from the rest of the continent. So we have been working very closely with the, you know, our trade partners to encourage them to look at the continent as a viable market, so that we begin to advocate for the rest of the continent to travel to South Africa, so that we can aid the recovery. And because the continent is an important market, South Africa's performance is better than the global average. I think our performance was sitting at 86%. Recovery in terms of looking our outlook. But if you look at your Euro level, they're sitting at 88, Asia Pacific about 97%, and America's about 73%. So the fact that the continent remains a critical market for us ensures that as South Africa, we're seen as a destination that is recovering. We know that we can still do better. On this slide that is on the screen, it just gives us a global outlook. I think let's move to the next one. It gives us a global outlook in terms of how long would it take us? What does the outlook say in terms of a return to our 2019 level? But we do know that that remains uncertain. We continue, however, to monitor the changes. Key issues such as vaccine rollouts would obviously increase consumer confidence in terms of them choosing South Africa as a destination to visit from both leisure and business events. So what it simply means, honourable members, is that we have to keep that balance of how do we keep our destination South Africa top of mind in our respective source markets, but also in the continent, and looking at having a brand that is refreshed and is representative of South Africans. And I think the other thing to look at this analysis that we've given, we really have to look at an improved communication, which is something that we have already started in this current fiscal, to manage the reputation of the destination, advocating obviously for South Africa to be that destination for both leisure and business events. And I think it would involve us providing the factual information around our vaccine rollout as a country, and work towards getting the key source markets, lifting those travel advisories against South Africa. So I think our response to all this analysis has to be, how do we actually position ourselves to ensure that when the sector recovers and when the travel advisories are lifted, we are ready to actually create the demand and the supply side is ready to fulfill. However, I think the last point that I need to make, or the two last points that I need to make on the slide, is that from a business events point of view, it's important that we work very closely with our provincial counterparts so that we increase the level of bidding, because we believe that if we bid, we create that pipeline for future hosting of conferences, or big conferences into our country, which has got a long-lasting economic effect in terms of those events that are hosted here. And lastly, I think what it will take as well to deal with the outlook or to change the trajectory of our recovery is working with relevant government authorities and institutions through the Department of Tourism, where we have to create an enabling environment that would ensure that the sector recovers. If you can move. Next slide. I've already spoken to this. I just want to quickly just remind honourable members and chair that as an entity, we've got five programs. The first one, corporate support, it has to do with our all internal environment. This is where we ensure that we've got a workforce that is engaged. This is where we ensure that we've got financial management systems in place and that we're financial prudent and our control environment is up to speed. We've got program two, which is business enablement. This talks to our front-facing work, where we engage our stakeholders in the kind of work that we do. We also position the entity as a thought leader, where we share with market updates and infographics that we publish now and then to ensure that the sector is informed of the changes. But also we look at how we create market access to ensure that the SMEs get that market access and we can actually grow the sector in an inclusive way. Program 3, that's where we call, program 3 and 4, that's where we deal with the presentations off the screen. I hope you can see my screen because I think that the Kuduzwayo screen went off.
So what we can see here is summary of South African Tourism Annual Performance Plan.
Perfect, that's where
the
I am.
The column.
Yes.
The five column. Chair.
That's where I am, Chair.
Okay.
So I was still saying from program 3 and 4, these that's where the core business sits. That's where we have the leisure tourism marketing as well as the business events and marketing. And our program 5 largely has to do with the supply side, our readiness as a destination to host visitors, but also to ensure that we've got a quality product that can fulfill this brand promise. The most important thing there is how do we ensure that in rolling out the quality assurance program, we are inclusive in nature to ensure that the SME accommodation establishments are part of that. This is the organizational performance for quarter four, which is now the quarter under review. We had a total 28 KPIs across the 5 programs that I've just given you an overview of. And 27 KPIs were due because this was the last quarter of the financial year. The 27 KPIs were due for reporting, and 24 of those KPIs we have achieved, and we have shown a significant progress on one of the KPIs, and we have only 2 that have not been achieved. So this gives you a full analysis of our performance on KPIs for quarter one. If I may, on program one, the key areas that I would like to focus on are those 3 areas that we've mentioned. Where we have shown a significant progress is the implementation of the valid internal and external audit recommendations. At the end of the quarter, we had a couple of areas that we had not been able to close. But however, we've taken it up for quarter one to ensure that we close and then look on those audit findings as well as the recommendations to be implemented. The 2 KPIs on program 1 that we didn't meet the first one is on the maximum vacancies as a percentage of headcount. I think both the Deputy Minister and the Chair have given an overview in their opening that we did have a moratorium on filling of vacancies given the imminent merger between SA Tourism and Brand SA as well as the repurposing of state entities. Unfortunately, we could not continue with recruitment to fill the vacancies given that. And the last one is around the 100% automation, which we had a bit of glitches in terms of contracting a service provider that would help us to automate all our business processes. So all of these we've taken them over in quarter one of the current fiscal, and we should be able to account when we come back for quarter one engagement. All other programs, from program 2 to program 5, we have met all the targets. So the only area that we didn't meet the targets with those 2 KPIs in program 1. Honorable Chair and members, I'm going to leave it there because the next slides are going into details in terms of what I've explained each and every program. I'm going to skip all of them and go to financial management or financial performance for the quarter and allow the CFO to come in and give us that overview before I hand back to the Chair. Thank you. CFO?
Thank you, Chair. I'm on slide 36. This is our revenue slide for the quarter ended 31 March 2021. It shows a consolidated view of our income that we incurred during that financial year. Our biggest or most significant portion came from our transfer from the department line, which was 423 million, just over 420 million. And it accounts for more than 85% of our total income of 479, as can be seen on the slide. And then the next biggest item is the Thompson levy, which we accrued just over 29 million rand, and it's based on the transfer from TVCSA, which was confirmed at the end of the financial year. Our other two line items in terms of revenue is the grading fees. There's just over 18 million, which we generated during the financial year. And the bulk of our grading income is linked to our tourism incentive program funding. Most of our graded establishments actually qualified for that amount. So we just amortize whatever was sitting as unearned revenue in our balance sheet back into our income statement, and hence the 18.9 million income that we show in the grading fee. And then lastly, on sundry income, just over 7.7 million that we accrued during the financial year, and it's mostly due to input VAT credits that's included in the 7.7 million, as well as the interest income on COLA accounts. So when we don't have an immediate need for operational costs, the amounts that we put in COLA accounts so that we can accrue interest and actually supplement the budget that we have. Based on that, then our total budget was 479 million for the financial year versus what we had projected in our APP of 449.7 million rand. That accounts to 107%. So the total or 7% variation, which is more than what we had projected at APP level, is due to that confirmation at year end of Thompson levies, as well as then the portion of grading fees that was from the TIP. Can we please move on to the next slide, which is slide 37. Deals with our
recording in progress.
Deals with our budget investment. So this is our budget investment slide at program level. It begins to show where we invested during the financial year. So in the first program was on corporate support, which are business units that actually support the three core business units, which is our tourism execution unit, our grading unit, as well as business events. So what we invested in program one was 137 million expenditure. And the 137 million expenditure on face value is more than what we would have budgeted, the 130 million. And the reason for that is included in the 137 expenditure is non-cash amounts, which we have to accrue for because we use GRAP to account for our financial. So the budget would be based on cash, but our expenditure also has an element of non-cash item. So what's included in there would be depreciation as well as amortization, and hence the 6%. What I can confirm to honorable members is that 6% is a non-cash element, so it does not show spending more than what we have in that program. And then next is the business enablement program. So this is where we invest in our insights and analytics activity. So what we invested there is 41 million versus 41.5 million versus expenditure of 41, budget of 41.9 million. So there was a 1% 1% that we did not spend when you do analysis between budget and actual spend. And then program three, which is our biggest line item and where we invest the bulk of our budget, is the leisure tourism marketing. This is where we account for spending in the brand and marketing business unit, as well as tourism execution. So it's the brand work that we do, as well as the conversion work that we also do. In this line item, we also account for the expenses that we incur in terms of the country offices that we have. And you'll see that, again, there's a 2% variation, and it's because included in that program is an amount that relates to unrealized foreign exchange losses. So that happens when at year end we need to consolidate our financial records. Because they are foreign denominated, we need to convert them back to ZAR. And sometimes depending on the exchange rate, you will have a forex loss. So it's not a real forex loss, it's a conversion loss. But we have to accrue for it in our expense column. And then that then led to the 2% variance. And then on program four, which relates to the work that our business events unit does. So we invested 29.4 million. This is one business unit where there was an under expenditure. And it's mostly linked to the fact that we had a number of strategic platforms that we had planned to participate in when we did our annual performance plan. And due to cancellations and some of them not being physical events, we couldn't participate. That then led to an under achievement or under projection. So it led to an investment of 29.4 million versus what we had initially planned to invest in the business events program of 40.7 million. I think the other key driver in that line item is also the fact that in this financial year, we didn't have Lilizela, which we account for in program four. Lilizela was, we also did not have our key strategic events, which is Indaba as well as Meeting with Africa. Then the last program is Visitor Experience. This is where we invest funds for grading as well as hosting activities. And the total spend there was 30.9 million versus an annual budget of 31. Members will see that if you compare the two slides, so your revenue slide as well as this slide, there are instances where the expenditure would be more than what's sitting in the revenue slide. And the reason for that is that usually in the third quarter, so around November, we get confirmation of approval of rollovers from the previous financial year from Treasury. So in our budget slide or expenditure slide, we also account then for that increase or the impact of the rollover. And that has an impact on our expenditure and hence the spend of total of 627 million over this financial year. I will then move on to the next slide, slide 38, which is the budget view at economic classification level. It shows our spending split between what our salary cost is versus goods and services, excluding CAPEX. I think what's key in the compensation line is that linkage to the performance target that we didn't meet that relates to vacancy rate. And the impact of that is shown in the salary bill where there was an underspend in versus what we had budgeted. So that 3% is due to us having vacancies in the business. And then lastly on goods and services, there's a breakdown in the next slide that you'll see, but it mainly relates to our marketing investment, which I've shown, I mean, I've given a detailed explanation at program level. Which at this rate, goods and services, we had invested 382 million during this financial year. Again, that impact of our rollover and surplus retention as approved by Treasury from the previous financial year, you also see the impact of that in this line item. And then just on the last slide, which is our slide 39, please. Thank you, Steve. This is a graphical representation of where we've invested during the financial year. I think what's key takeout from here was that we tried to maintain our presence in the different countries, even during lockdown. So there was a significant spend in media, in production, which talks to content creation as well as our capabilities. Even in countries where there wasn't conversion work, and that related to us making sure that we keep our brand alive and that when it's time for recovery, we're not in the back foot. I will pause here, Chair, and hand over to the acting CEO for the last two slides.
Thank you so much. The last slide basically gives a sense of our governance and compliance environment. We do, as an entity, strive to comply with laws and regulations to ensure that we are operationally and financially more efficient, and we're prudent in how we spend government money. And there is the assurance on compliance with systems of internal controls and their effectiveness. So we do have a combined assurance model that we use where we've got our various structures that have been put in place to ensure that we manage our internal control environment, and we ensure that there's compliance risk management and testing of certain aspects of both internal financial controls by external auditors and our own assurance avoid providers internally. We have a policy universe that we maintain. We've got our policy registers that are in place. I think we've started with a process of reviewing some of our policies in 2020. But it's something that is kept top of mind all the time to ensure that there is harmony with the legislative and regulatory prescripts. And we have been compliant in all matters relating to the PFMA for this quarter that we're reporting under of ending 31st of March 2021. And from a board point of view, the way three meetings of the board that were held during quarter four. Chair, I'm going to end there, and just to say we are dealing with a whole lot of things in the environment, as we know, and some of which we've mentioned, but the key to what we're doing is to ensure that we keep our brand alive, but mostly working with the private sector and everyone involved to ensure that the regulatory environment is conducive for us to drive the sector. And I think top of mind for us now is to drive that advocacy program to ensure that we remove South Africa from the travel advisories that we have, to ensure that people can start traveling to South Africa. So we'll hand back to the chair to sum up before we take questions and answers. I've got my executive team who are ready to answer all questions that members might have. Thank you, Chair.
Chairperson, are you summing up?
I thought the chair is
not around, because you have indicated that he's be attending something after, immediately when she finishes his presentation.
Okay. Thank you, GM. Enver, can I hand over to you to sum up before we hand over to the Deputy Minister? Thank you.
Thank you, Acting CEO, and again, good morning to the Portfolio Committee members, to the Chairperson of the Committee, and then, of course, to the Deputy Minister. So in summary, Committee members, what we find is that we are still on our way towards recovery as a destination, as a country. We move between containment and adjustment and adaptation of the sector. But we are mindful of the fact that the vaccination rollout and the speed at which it's improving is assisting us in providing travel confidence to the world. And our job as South African tourism is only starting. There's been lots of engagements from our side, specifically in engaging and keeping travel top of mind, not only for consumers, but especially with travel trade and travel media. And as we see the rest of the world, and especially in our key source markets, starting to travel, we are mindful of the fact that we still have so many challenges ahead of us. But I think we remain resolute in the fact that this is going to require a collective effort, not only from South African tourism and government, but also with the private sector and civil society collectively, in order to make sure that we recover as soon as possible. And as South African tourism, even though we are mindful of the challenge ahead, we always make sure that we comply with the regulations, making sure that we make sure that we try our best to, of course, provide good audit controls and management, and that we work quite closely as the board with the executive leadership so that we can deal with any challenges that we may face, so that we can do so both collaboratively, but also noting that tourism, that was once one of the biggest contributors to our GDP, will hopefully with our collective efforts get there again. Thank you, Chairperson.
Thank you very much to the collective of the SAT for the fourth quarter. Honourable members, that's the presentation. Honourable Pusha, if she's not there, can we go to Honourable Gumbi? Dada Gumbi. Okay, we will now take Honourable Sithole.
Thank you, Honourable Chairperson. First of all, Chairperson, I must greet you with the portfolio committee and the officials from SAT, and thank you for their presentation. First one, Chairperson, I have a concern if they can explain their projection, Chairperson, of expenditure. Their budget spend is more than what they projected. So that's what it means, they are spending more than what they have. Now I'm trying to check why that this thing are happening, Chairperson. If they can actually explain to us why this thing are happening. And the other, Chairperson, that I'm trying to struggle, I don't know, sometimes they do have a plan. The plan of domestic marketing. Because you see, if you are talking about what you are dropping, but there's no plan, there's no strategy. That's how we're going to deal with the marketing, because we always talk about township, rural and villages, where they're supposed to do more of their target and their marketing. If they can explain this one, Chairperson. And the last one, Chairperson, is this one of vaccine. Because the rollout of vaccine is continuing. I'm trying to check, do they have any cooperative with the Department of Health to ensure that they monitor this vaccine so that we can know how are we going to deal with it? Because you see, we have a problem, because most of people they don't want to go to do vaccine. Some they say they did the first one on freezer. And then after that, they say they don't go back. So that these things are affecting the country, then going to affect everybody. If they can actually give us some details and some information. Thank you very much, Chairperson.
Thank you, Honorable Stoller. Can we go to Honorable De Freitas?
Thank you, Chair. Thanks for your indulgence. I'm going to ask a question that's not really related directly to this report, but is just topical. So if you could have your indulgence, Chair. And that is, I wonder if any of the officials present could advise us if they've had any feedback from our international officers with regards the recent looting that took place, particularly in KZN, and if there's been an impact or reaction in any way. Thanks very much, Chair.
Thanks very much, Honorable De Freitas. That day after. Honorable April. Honorable Honorable Mieni. Honorable Mpuche. Honorable Gumbi. Honorable Gomba.
Thank you very much, Honorable Chair. Chair, I have questions that need clarity from the department, from the entity, sorry. The first question is, how far is the entity with regards to the policy review for the free grading, as we proposed for almost a year, to say we would love the grading being offered free, that encourage our tourism establishment to go through grading so that we are sure about our quality assurance. The second question, Chair, is about the marketing of our townships, dorps and villages. Because, Chair, I believe that our townships, dorps and villages are the most areas where you find a lot of tourism activities, but which are not taken into consideration and not properly or sufficiently marketed. Therefore, I want to find out about them. How far are they in terms of marketing these three categories of settlements, the dorps, the villages, as well as the townships? We are still on top of that issue as the portfolio committee, and it will always stay on the agenda. Chair, the other one is about the domestic market, the domestic tourism marketing. Chair, we have a very beautiful country with beautiful provinces, and COVID-19, I think we are getting there in terms of managing and coming closer to controlling the infection through the vaccine program. So I would love to see, to hear the manner in which we are getting more and more popularizing, you know, we are getting more provinces being popularized amongst our community so that we do interprovincial tourism amongst ourselves whilst we are waiting to see the international tourism coming to South Africa. And the other one is about the flights, the international flights which normally come from international to South Africa. Are we getting them? Are we still getting those flights? Are the airlines open for those international flights so that we are able to receive them and see? Because we cannot measure if the flights and the airlines are still closed, and we cannot even whether we still can receive those international tourists. So are those airlines allowed, or they are still limited in terms of measure the COVID-19 pandemic challenge that we are having? The other question, Chair, which is the last one, is about the relationship between the Department of Health and the Department of Tourism. What is the relationship with regards to the health department and the Department of Tourism in relation to the COVID-19 and the international tourism controls? Thank you very much.
Thank you very much, Honorable Gumba. Let's take Honorable Winkler Shamima.
Thank you, Chairperson. Thank you to South African Tourism, and hello, colleagues. What I did want to ask was, have there been any collaboration with domestic and international stakeholders about the standardization of a health passport so that we can obviously try and open up our borders sooner? And then I have one more question. Sorry. The Global PR Communications Tourism Advocacy Program launched in partnership with the Tourism Business Council of South Africa in June 2021. What has the outcome been of this initiative so far? Thank you.
Thanks, Honorable Shamima. If Honorable push it back, okay, no longer will go back to her. Honorable Mieni will not go back to him. Honorable Gumba will no longer go back to him. Honorable April will no longer go back to him. Honorable Mutika is not well. He sent me a message to say he's not well. But can we help you if you are able, Honorable Mutika? It doesn't seem we have Honorable Mutika. Honorable Mieni is not there.
Just one question.
Okay.
Okay. Just one question, Chair. Can you hear me? Chairperson?
Yeah, proceed, Honorable Mutika.
Okay. Chairperson, my concern is on the recruitment process for the CEO, because I heard the chairperson of the board saying they've shortlisted people and again they had to go and ask other people who do not apply. I think it's head handy. You can't go ask somebody who is not applying to come and be part of the listing. Really, it's like undermining others and go and look for Mutika, because from the beginning they were targeting him, but he's not applied. So it caused a problem with.
Okay, Honorable Mutika, Baya, thank you. We will now take the last member to speak, will be Honorable Kaipo. But before she does that, just to bring to the attention of the committee that Honorable Shelima Kubela is not well, so she will not be contributing anything to the meeting due to her absence. Honorable Kaipo.
Thank you, Honorable Chairperson. Greetings to the leadership of the department and the leadership of SAG, my colleagues in the portfolio committee, everyone there, thanks that we are still alive. Other people have not made it. My apologies for having my video off, Chair. I've just moved out of the place because of the network, but I'm here. Chair, let me first welcome the report by SAT on their fourth quarter performance. I will first have to comment on the input by the board chairperson. Chairperson, I think let me welcome the notion of office rentals abroad on a month-to-month basis, as said by the board chairperson. Given the present situation of uncertainty, it is correct, Chair, that they decided not to have long leases because we don't know what's going to happen tomorrow and the other days. On the update about the recruitment of the CEO, I acknowledge the update, but I have this to say, whatever they see workable to get the best candidate, that must be done with speed so that the performance of the entity is not hindered, Chairperson. I also note that, Chair, all the various alert levels since COVID-19 have a negative impact on the tourism industry. What I can advise the entity, including the department, is that the leadership, both in the Department of Tourism and the and SAT, they must lead campaigns, Chair. There should be strategies developed that are relevant, that will encourage South Africans to go and get vaccinated. You see, when you see leadership leading that, you see business people in the tourism industry leading that, encouraging workers in the tourism industry being vaccinated, Chair. That will allay fears in South Africans, because our hopes now are with domestic tourism, where I advise the entity to improve on marketing domestically, because sometimes borders are closed, whatever is happening during COVID-19. And now we have this third wave, which is reported to be very, very dangerous. As we see now, it means domestic tourism is our hope now. I think if they can improve on strategies to market South Africa to South Africans, and also join and lead campaigns on the vaccination program, that can work for us very well, Chair. With regards to the fourth quarter performance report that they are presenting, I think now we are done with the work of the previous financial year. We will now observe the audit outcomes of the entity. I can safely say the report is now adopted, Chair. That's my recommendation to the committee. Thank you very much, Chairperson.
Okay, thank you very much, Honorable Gumba and the rest of the collective of the members of the portfolio committee. I hope I did not leave anyone out, because we didn't receive the apologies from the members. From my side.
No, Chairperson, I'm fine. I did have a problem with my gadget. It's Calipo.
Oh, Calipo.
Yes, no, I'm fine, Chair.
Oh, you are okay?
Okay.
And I'm sorry for not calling your name also.
No.
Bear with me.
It's fine, Chair.
It's nothing intentional.
No, I know you, my Chair.
Yes. No, thank you, Comrade Honorable Khalifa. I was saying that Honorable Deputy Minister and the collective from both the department and SA Tourism, we thank you for the presentation, and we thank you for putting the effort to make sure that what you had presented to Parliament as your intended objectives, you have not spent any energy nor sweat to make sure that you achieve those intended objectives. It shows that you take not only Parliament serious, but you also take the Portfolio Committee serious, and you take the people of South Africa serious. Broadly, the sector in hospitality, you take it serious. So we applaud you for that. This happened in the context of all of us, including yourselves, having to navigate a situation which was never predicted. And so far, you have managed very well to navigate through that particular situation. For the Department of Tourism, through the Minister and the Deputy Minister, to have been able to sit in cabinet and present a situation in as far as the implications of tourism, of COVID on tourism is concerned, it wouldn't have happened and succeeded, that presentation by the department, without you having done the necessary research, without you having invested time and resources to ensure that quality report is given to both the minister and the deputy minister to inform not only parliament and cabinet, but to inform the people of South Africa and the world at large on how we locate ourselves as the tourism sector in South Africa, in as far as this global challenge is concerned. So we want to thank you for that, and it demonstrates leadership. Inherent in that leadership is proactivity and commitment to achieve our strategic objectives. I'm just raising two things from my side. One is that this matter that relates to either a process, an intention, or a decision relating to the amalgamation of SA Tourism and Brand SA, it has to be done as quickly as possible. What is required there will be predictability and certainty. So not only the committee, but South Africa has to know when is this going to happen, what are the modalities, what are the processes, so that from a planning perspective, remember in the tourism sector, you work with people who plan medium to long term. People have to know what is likely to occur and whether that will impact positively or negatively on the tourism sector, particularly from a coordination and management point of view. So it will be important for us to have that sense of predictability and certainty. The second point, which is my last point, is that as we move into the first quarter, there must be some lessons that we have learned on things that we may need to consider discarding, on things that we may consider to refine them, on things that we may need to adjust a little bit, on things that we may need to strengthen, things that have helped us to be able to sail through the difficulty of COVID-19 and other challenges that are there. So if you could just, going forward, even if it's not in this meeting, to take that into account and be able to demonstrate to the committee what are those things that you think, based on the lessons that we have learned throughout the process, we may need to relook at, either discarding them, changing them, readjusting them, strengthening them, particularly those things that have worked for us. I will now give over to you, Chairman, and the rest of the collective of SAT, and then when you have done that, we will give over to the Deputy Minister to then do a wrapping up, which will be preceded by the Chairperson making closing remarks. Over to you.
Thank you, Chairperson of the Portfolio Committee. Between myself, my colleague Lindiwe, and Wallace, the executives, we'll try to answer all of the questions and hopefully be able to summarize some of the questions where there is an overlap. I think the one that I would like to probably start with was the question around the recruitment and then the headhunting of the CEO. I take note of the comments of the Portfolio Committee, and I can give you the assurance that as a board, we are focusing on, of course, firstly, making sure that we speed up the process to the point that we want to make sure that stability remains within the organization and that we can still make sure we deliver on our plans and our bold plans for recovery. And that would require, of course, doing so speedily. But I think we also want to make sure is that we find the right candidates. And the process we had gone through, which was the regional process, was mostly focused on a standard recruitment process. We had a good caliber of people that have applied. We went through that process. And then once we had completed the objective process of fair scoring, we realized that there was almost an equal parity between them and nobody really stood head and shoulders above everyone else that we could say, this is the CEO that's going to get us as a sector to recover. And secondly, it's someone that we know can also understand the complexity around dealing with a potential merger. And I think in all fairness, Chairperson, what you indicated is that also needs to give us clarity around what we're going to be doing going forward. The decision as a headhunting is the consequence of following a recruitment process. it's not to the sense that we're saying that we don't have suitable candidates. But I think because also if we look at the seniority of this role, the importance of this role from an international perspective, we also want to make sure that we also cover some of the gaps that, that came through through the interview process. So by no means are we doing this just as a mechanism to say, well, we're not happy with what we had. It's saying is that we set the bar exceptionally high, we had good candidates, but no one had stood head and shoulders above each other when we did it in an objective and fair scoring manner. And I think the headhunting is also us saying is that we want to make sure that we go and find the person, male or female, or even a person with disability, which we included in the criteria for the headhunting, to make sure that we actually start targeting and finding the right candidates that we can all be proud of and support as the new CEO. On the question around the impact that, and I think it was Mr. De Vreter that had asked the question around the impact that the recent unrest had had on the destination. I think we look at it through two lenses. The first one is the destination brand, the brand of South Africa. And of course, it took a knock. I think we were in the media globally and locally for the wrong reasons. And what we did as a team, and I'm sure the team and the acting CEO can give a lot more information, is we actually had monitored the situation. We also made sure that we, by understanding what was happening on the ground, what was happening in the media, also made sure that we communicate to international trade and travel media by providing the facts of what is happening on the ground rather than them interpreting what they might be seeing and assuming certain things. So we were a lot more proactive in engaging with tourism, travel trade and travel media in addressing the situation. I think also, Chairperson, is the second part of the lens is besides the brand, is that we also need to make sure that what do we do as South African tourism when we get to this point. And a lot of the continent and the promotion we were looking at was some of the positivity that came out of the unrest. I think if we look at South Africans and how we all rallied to clean up, to help each other, that is how we started counteracting that negative media. And we started making sure that we push out that content through to the travel trade and travel media as a consequence of not just the unrest, but also showing how South Africans can come together and deal with a situation that was difficult for us to deal with, but we're beginning to see some of that positive action coming from it. But again, for every negative media piece out there, you need to at least push up 9 positive media in order to counter that. And that's a huge challenge when we look at our social media spread and how it moves. And to keep track of that on a global perspective becomes challenging, but I think what we do and remain constant in is that making sure that our stakeholders are aware and can trust the information that South African tourism gives them as an authority in that space. When it comes to the free grading, I'm just going to maybe ask the acting CEO to give us an update on the progress of that. And I think with the marketing of towns, dorpies and villages, I think it's important and we've all agreed that we have started with that process. We are also mindful of the fact that from a domestic market perspective, is that its recovery is also slow because of a lot of unemployment. Lots of people have lost their jobs. And travel is at the bottom of a consideration list when they look at the amount of money they have left at the end of the month. Everybody's been affected, people have lost their jobs, and therefore to travel is not something that they would put in a priority. Those whose salaries have been cut, again, will not put travel as a priority. And I think what we are doing as South African tourism is working alongside the provinces and the cities and of course local municipalities to be able to make sure that we communicate the affordability of travel across the country. There are so many things we can do for free, that's literally a short list away. And I think it's about us amplifying it continuously, not only as South African tourism, but also through other collectives, through the provinces, the cities, and other municipalities through those structures. And I think that's a collective effort because the recovery of tourism is not only going to depend on South African tourism, but on every single tourism body across South Africa that is receiving funding from government. On the projection of the budget, I'll just ask the CFO to respond to that. And then on international flights. International flights are beginning to come back slowly. That is based on two things. Of course, travel confidence, as they can see us ramping up our vaccination program, there's a lot more confidence, but there's also trade that happens.
So when we look at it is that there's the belly of the plane that is also needing to be filled, and we begin to see, especially with e-commerce, planes again beginning to fill up and their load factors improving. Airlines are coming in because almost that time for them to schedule the change in their flight patterns as they do from summer to winter changes. But I think for us, it's still a long way to go. I think it's encouraging that we've seen the US airlines starting to come in again. And I think this again shows you that the travel confidence of those that are vaccinated from our key source markets is again driving confidence that people want to travel. And I think the fact that we are an open destination and we and our borders have been open since last year, I think is again assisting us in getting that. However, as I've indicated in my closing remarks earlier, is the fact that we are also mindful of the fact that we are still sitting on travel advisories and the UK red list. And that's where we also are looking at our government and this committee to help us to lobby our counterparts in the UK, US, etc., from a government perspective, to really look at travel advisories for us to be able to lobby and advocate for that, because it's not only going to take a marketing campaign or a lobbying campaign by the industry. I think for us, government-to-government relationships that will hopefully get that conversation to happen in a way that will allow us to get off those travel advisories and even off those red lists like in the UK. Chairperson, I'm now going to hand over to the acting CEO and the rest of the executive team to respond to the other questions. And if there are any questions that we may have skipped, we are happy to come back to those and answer those. Thank you, Chairperson.
Thank you very much. And I'm going to start with the CMO to come in with reflections on the points that have been raised under my question. Thank you.
Thank you, Acting CEO. Thank you, Chairperson. Thank you, members and colleagues. Three things that I'd like to respond on. The first one is the global advocacy campaign. When we envisaged this campaign, there were three things that we considered. The first one was the fact that we are on red lists around the world due to, you know, the COVID-19 pandemic travel restrictions. We also looked at the fact that our brand power score needed to be bolstered in those markets. We also looked at the fact that in some of those markets, there were barrier issues that needed to be overcome. And those barrier issues, you know, pertain to not what was happening in the market, but more of what was happening inside South Africa from the way in which we respond to certain crisis situations. We went out on an RFP, and because we believed that in order for us to achieve that, we needed, you know, a certain caliber of expertise domestically and internationally for us to be able to address those issues. That process is at its tail end. I'm happy to announce that we are at the tail end of the procurement process to get an appropriate partner to assist us with that. The strategy always resides within South African tourism. We know exactly what needs to be done, but we need, you know, the tentacles to be able to assist us in terms of the execution of that particular strategy. So that, you know, we are at the tail end of, in the next 2 weeks or so, we should be able to announce a strategic partner that we'll be working with, and we'll be able to roll out that work in the course of September and then ongoing into the rest of the year and going forward. Combined with that, we have developed a global brand campaign, which will be working in tandem with the global advocacy campaign. And that as well, you know, we're targeting both of those to launch on the 27th of September, which is World Tourism Day, and then roll out thereafter. So that we will be able to keep members, you know, appraised of that. In terms of the marketing to, you know, villages, towns, and small dorpies, last year, was a particular watershed year for us as South African tourism, because together with the provincial tourism authorities, we ran the summer campaign, and it was targeted not at your normal tourism attractions. It was targeted specifically at villages, towns, and small dorpies. It was extremely effective, attested to by the provincial tourism authorities. And a lot of the work that was gathered there, those provincial tourism authorities are actually planning to run a second iteration of that campaign in this year. So I'd like to just assure, you know, members that that remains a focus of South African tourism in collaboration with the provincial tourism authorities. Finally, just, you know, the collaboration both with the health authorities and also with ALIS. We have got continuous conversations with AXA, with the Airline Association, and with other departments, just to make sure that we collaborate in terms of the recovery program. As members will be aware, that tourism is not a vertical sector, it is a horizontal one. We have to continually collaborate with other departments. So in terms of the work that we're doing with AXA, with the airlines, with Home Affairs, in terms of, you know, the visa regime, you know, with the security cluster, in terms of safety and security, that is ongoing work that we continue to do to make sure that we continue to make sure that South Africa is a safe and very enjoyable destination to visit. I'm going to stop there and just hand back to my boss, the acting CEO. Thank you very much. Thank you, Stan.
Thank you, TK. CFO, can you come in and deal with the expenditure question? Thank you.
Thank you, Chair. Thank you, Chair. On the question from Honourable Member Sithole on the expenditure and the two slides, our revenue slide as well as the expenditure management, this is a result of an annual process that we go through with National Treasury, where at the end of August, when we get our audited results, we have to declare a surplus or a deficit. So part of declaration of the surplus is also then reflecting on your commitments for the year. And for those commitments that you're going to require to be rolled over to the next financial year, which we had in our audit financial statements in the previous year, you need then to justify the rollover and the retention of those funds. So and that process runs from August until November. So in November 2020, we then got approval to roll over certain funds as well as retain those funds. So you then see the impact of that. It's a supplement to the annual performance plan budget. You then see it in your expenditure column, where you've rolled over your budget and it's then included, and then it's then expensed in the year under review. And hence my comment during my presentation that you'll see the two. There is a difference, and the difference is mainly due to the approval to roll over and retain certain commitments that you can then incur in the year under review. Thank you, Chair.
Thank you. Amanda, please, can you talk to some of the work that we're doing in the grading council, including the policy
that? Good morning, Chairperson, members, honourable members, board members, colleagues. Thank you so much, Acting CEO. The one of the things that I just quickly want to just add to what our CMO said for the members is that we are definitely in this financial year today will have three events in small towns. We've already identified the towns, the 27 towns. We are busy to look at the infrastructure and how we can assist our meetings industry to actually host meetings in these small towns. So that is a program that really speaks to the BTSD and that we really want to get off the ground. And we believe, you know, we'll have a good outcome at the end to prepare these towns also to eventually have the, smaller international meetings also. So I just wanted to touch on that one. And then just quickly on the Honourable Kumba, the policy is in the ambit of the Department of Tourism. We know that they appointed a council or a board or a council, I think, a group that are looking at the policy in its totality, and of course grading being one of them. In the meantime, what happened in the grading space is that we're really excited about two things. One is as I think the CFO also talked about it in the financials around the tourism.
There's a problem. There's something disrupting your audibility. I don't know whether you're able to do something about it, or it's only on my side.
Yeah,
but it's fine. You can proceed.
Is it better?
I proceed.
Thank you. Just to say that I hope that you heard that I said that the policy is with the department, and I know that there is a forum or council that are looking into it, and it is in its totality. But what I did say that there are two things that we are excited about at the Grading Council. The one is that with the tourism incentive program, where we really can give, in this time of financial pressure, free grading. So we are subsidizing our, when they qualify, our graded establishments for their grading fees. And then the second thing is that for the first time in 10 years, we appointed a new service provider that is not overseas-based anymore, but it's a South African system for South Africans called Quality in Tourism, Total Quality in Tourism, and I'm very excited about the work that is happening in that space. Thank you so much.
Thank you, Amanda. Thank you, Honourable Chair. I think a lot of questions have been covered, and I think Enver did a good job in terms of giving that high-level overview. There are two questions which came out, and the first one is around what is our position around the standardizing of vaccine passport, which I think Honourable Deputy Minister will deal with. And the second question is around our relationship with the health department, in terms of coming up with a campaign to encourage citizens to vaccinate. I must say that increasingly we're getting a request from our partners as well, private sector, to say, what can we do to ensure that at least we start with a communication piece which encourages those that are working within the sector itself to get vaccinated. It's something that we're looking at. However, I think the broader discussion around how do we then get South Africans to vaccinate, probably, it's something that the Honourable Deputy Minister would like to, might want to, reflect upon. I will now touch on two things, the key initiatives that we're doing within the domestic space. And I think Enver did allude to the fact that there's a whole lot of things in the space, in the sector, that could actually be done that doesn't require money. As we know that the issue of affordability and the environment, which we find ourselves from an economic point of view, for people is quite tough. However, I think as part of our annual performance plan, we did put in plans to ensure that we keep on promoting, despite what is happening, we keep on promoting domestic tourism. So to that end, we've got what we call a deal-driven campaigns, where we partner with the private sector to come on board to give those deals to South Africans to travel the length and breadth of that country. If you look at, when we look at the first quarter of the financial year, this current financial year, we ran a huge campaign around Easter, and you could have seen, the numbers were beginning to show signs of recovery within the domestic market. I think when we come and account for quarter one, we should be able to give the committee a sense of, the recovery to that end. Unfortunately, when we went into the deal, the winter break, the country was hit by the third wave, and a lot of things changed. And in fact, one of the critical issues that impacts movement was around the uncertainty of school calendars. So the shift in school calendars also impacted our winter break campaign, where we encourage South Africans to go out there and stay warm and enjoy their country. Right now what we're doing is annually we've got our annual campaign, which is the Travel Week, which is aligned to the Tourism Month now in September, where we partner with the private sector and we call them to give a discounted rate to South Africans up to 50%. And we've seen this work, unfortunately, in 2020, we had to put a halt on it because of the pandemic, but we have now reinstituted that for September. And I think those are some of the things that we're trying to do in the domestic space. Amanda has already spoken about the work that we're doing with the National Association Project, where each and every province has identified three small dot pieces where we could actually have these events. So three events per province. I think we will go a long way in terms of building that capacity of hosting in future even international events into the small dot pieces and townships. The last part within the business events environment is we're working with the corporates because we believe that for the sector to recover, we need to get corporates as well as government to start having meetings, at venues, to start, traveling to go see their clients so that we begin to stimulate, the sector, both from transport, from, other, attractions, but mainly accommodation and meetings, infrastructure. So those are some of the things that we're doing. My last point that I want to reflect upon is what the Honorable Chair asked in the key lessons that we've learned from the pandemic. And I think as the executive team, part of our reflection was that if we want the sector to recover, one of the things that we need to get right is how do we get South Africans to start participating and get South Africans to understand the role and value of tourism. So it's something that we'll be looking at to say, it's not a campaign or an advert, but how do we then deliberately get South African citizens and communities to start participating around issues of tourism so that they begin to protect that as well. But the other key lessons, Chair, to your point is understanding that as an entity only, we cannot deliver tourism. We need a proactive engagement with strategic partners, so all of us, so be it private sector, be it other government entities like ourselves, as well as other government departments that play a huge role in terms of enabling the tourism industry. So one of the key things that we want to strengthen is our stakeholder capability, stakeholder engagement and management capability to ensure that we've got a broader program that will drive everybody who's got a hand or who's got a touch point, a tourism touch point in the kind of mandate that they deliver. It's also important, Chair, that we do work that looks at our brand. I think the CMO, both the CMO and EMPA have spoken about how do we reimagine and ensure that we come up with a brand repositioning that would be representative of what we would like people to see as South Africa. And I think this includes things that we have not really conceptualized before, things like how do we use our arts to tell our story in terms of South Africa, arts, fashion, culture, sports, and all those other sectors that have got an impact when it comes to tourism. My last 2 points is how do we restore consumer confidence? Because out there, there's a lot of perceptions that have been created out there in terms of what South Africa is all about. Some perceptions that are around our vaccine rollout is quite slow or has failed, and these are the things that we're picking up in the media. And the other key issues that we found is the recent riots that we've seen and the looting that we've seen. So we've got to actually do a lot of work to restore consumer confidence, but most importantly, to show consumers that our destination is actually ready to receive visitors. And from a supply side point of view, we are ready to implement the norms and standards in line with the COVID-19 protocols and regulations by the World Health Organization. And I think as government, we will not be able to do this if we don't have the industry behind us. So industry engagement becomes important. Industry itself has to be ready. If we're saying the recovery is with domestic and regional, industry itself should be ready to play within domestic and regional as well, whilst we wait for the entire international world to open. So Chair, those are some of the things that as the executive team, we've been applying our minds to say, these are the great lessons that we picked up in our 2020 during the height of the pandemic, and how do we then take all of these things in our current plans, but also moving forward to ensure that we support the sector to recover. I'm going to hand back to Enver to sum up before we head to the team. Thank you.
Thank you, Acting CEO. Acting CEO, I think before we close out, if you can maybe just give some more information regarding the Global Advocacy Program, the progress with the Tourism Business Council of South Africa, and then what was the view from the international markets regarding the unrest recently? Maybe there's some feedback you can provide to the Portfolio Committee on that. Thank you.
Thank you, Edmund. So on the riots themselves, what we've done is we've done a media monitoring to look at what is the state, you know, how wide is the news around the riots spread. And we did pick up a significant media attention, both locally and internationally. But I think the whole issue is the key takeout is that it has harmed perceptions of South Africa. And I think a lot of consumers were beginning to consider South Africa, because one of the things that we track is who is now searching to travel to South Africa. And we've seen markets such as your UK and Netherlands and the US, a lot of consumers are beginning to just search for information around packages to travel to South Africa. And definitely the issue of riots and the looting has had a negative impact. So what we've done is what we've already covered around using how South Africans have responded to the civil unrest by coming together, cleaning up the country. So we use that angle to actually communicate back to the world that South Africans are actually taking matters into their own hands. They're actually looking at ways in which they can restore confidence to all the consumers. Which brings me to how will the advocacy program deal with this thing? So the advocacy program that we've announced in June focuses on a couple of issues. The first one is how do we ensure that the reputation of the country is protected by obviously partnering with media houses that disseminate information, but most importantly, partnering with those we call friends of South Africa. These are influencers of perceptions internationally and locally. The other key issue that the advocacy program will begin to address is how do we disseminate factual information around the vaccine, but most importantly around the COVID pandemic. In all our, if not all, or probably 80 to 90% of our international markets, there was the whole thing around the South African variant. So that notion around the South African variant played a huge role in impacting our brand, but secondly, a huge role in ensuring that these markets place us on, you know, travel advisories against South Africa, or they discourage their citizens to travel to South Africa. So we are hoping that this advocacy program would go a long way in assisting us together with our partners, disseminating through right channels, factual information around how we're doing in terms of the vaccine rollout, but most importantly, what we're doing from a supply side to ensure that we're ready to receive visitors from a protocols point of view. And I think we will be working with the department around publicizing internationally the norms and standards that have been developed, which are now due for public comment. And in terms of how far we are, the CMO did mention that we're in the last stages of getting a partner that will assist us to navigate all of these things. However, we're not just waiting for the partner. What we've done in the meantime, we've partnered with the international missions, South African missions abroad, where we've got heads of missions during them, media engagements or trade engagements, where we give them scripts, we give them reports around what is happening in and around South Africa, so they're able to be our mouthpiece in terms of changing perceptions. In certain instances, we have the heads of missions engaging government around the travel advisories. Case in point, we've got High Commissioner Tambo in the UK, who has been working very closely with the government to ensure that we get removed from the regions. The second key issue that we've looked at whilst we're waiting to appoint a partner is working with missions, international missions that are based in South Africa. This is a program that we're delivering together with the department, the International Relations Desk, where we identified, according to our MIF priority markets, where we're going to now engage each and every head of mission here in South Africa to begin to engage and give factual information and get a sense of which platforms can we use to disseminate that information, using them as heads of mission based in South Africa as our mouthpiece. And the third area was that is that we do know that the carriers of bad news and perceptions around South Africa largely lies with the foreign correspondents. So what we're doing is we have started a round table discussions with foreign correspondents for various big media partners internationally. And this would be, is a program that would be led by the minister. We've made a recommendation that this should be led by both the minister and the deputy minister, where we sit around with the foreign correspondents to begin to change perception, but also to give factual information about what government is doing to ensure that we stabilize the country and the economy. I'm going to leave it there, and we're hoping that by end of this month, which is 6 days to go, we should be able to announce who our partner is in terms of rolling out the global advocacy program internationally. Thank you, Chair.
Thank you, Acting CEO. Thank you, Chair. I'm happy to hand back to you. I hope we've answered all the questions. And if not, we're happy to then respond to anyone that we may have missed. Chairperson, thank you.
Yeah. Thank you, Chair. Thank you very much for the responses by the team. I will switch off the video because my network is not a good one. Let me start with the cooperation between ourselves and the Department of Health in relation to the rollout of the vaccination program. Well, what is happening? We've got a recovery team, and that recovery team is composed of the DG of our department, and then the DG from the various departments, that is the Home Affairs, the Department of Transport, SAT is also part, then the TBSA, and we're looking the whole issues around recovery, which includes the issue of e-visas, the issue of the airlines, but also the issue of the rollout. The Department of Health also included, as I've indicated. And then the issue of the vaccination project. So that's the team that is there, coordinating all these activities as part of the recovery, because the vaccination is key in terms of our recovery plan, especially from the tourism sector. And then on the issue of the free trading, as Amanda has indicated, you will recall that we have reported that last year that we've taken a decision as a department, which I hope and believe the new minister will look into it, that we need to review the white paper because of its period of existence, the 1996, which is more than 20 years in existence. There are new development, you are in a fourth industrial revolution and all other related matters that need to be looked to, including the grading. So the decision was then taken by the then minister that we need to have a policy review, of which arising from that policy review, then the minister then appointed a panel, an advisory panel to the minister to look into the policy review process, of which I've seen, I'm not sure whether it did happen, that the committee as well wanted to be briefed on the process and the progress made by that panel. But what is happening currently, the panel was at an advanced stage, was still consulting with various stakeholders, including provinces, as you know, that tourism is a concurrent function. And therefore provinces must have an input to various district metros
and all other structures. So there's been a lot of engagement by that panel, which then they will have time to brief the new minister. Then the new minister will then indicate what process to be taken forward arising from that. So that's generally where we are in relation to that matter. And then on the issue of the marketing, especially the domestic marketing, as you know, we've got 9 provinces, and each province has got their own entity, of which that entity, its main purpose is created for marketing as well. And therefore, there is a coordination and collaboration between those structures, those entities in the provinces, to be able to market each province in working together with the provincial agencies on how to market the province. And therefore, so that's the situation that is there, that exists. So there's collaboration and coordination with provinces on how to make it, to market South Africa and each province, especially in relation to domestic market. But as Enver has indicated, we have got these challenges of that many people are unemployed as a result of the shedding of the job as a result of the COVID. Some salaries were cut, and therefore traveling by people, it becomes the last option. But we're working very hard, as you will know, since last year, September. The minister and myself have been engaging on domestic activation. We've been on the ground working with SAT on the short left, to make sure that we use tourism, domestic market, as the anchor for the recovery, so that by the time the international market is open, we've able to make sure that there is resilience in the tourism sector. It's working, it's operating, it doesn't collapse at the end of the day. So that's what is currently taking place and happening. And then the issue of the shortlisting and the amalgamation of SAT and Brand SAA, as the chair has indicated, yes, we need to create certainty, because without that certainty, we will not be able. I hope that the minister will then be briefed how the process has unfolded. Because what was left was to take the matter. The last time the minister briefed me was to take the matter to cabinet, so that the decision by cabinet is then taken. I'm sure that's a matter that is still outstanding. There is consensus in agreement that SAT and Brand SA will have to amalgamate and become one entity. That decision is almost a given, but the process is to finalize that process so that at the end of the day you then have one entity, of which then it raises the question whether SAT must still proceed in appointing this in headhunting for the CEO without finalizing the amalgamation. Because I'm not sure whether Brand SA doesn't have a CEO. If it doesn't have a CEO, then things, it might be better. But if they do, then once you appoint another one, with amalgamation, then there might be some challenges at the end. How then do you position the new entity? But it's a matter that I'm sure the new minister will look into it and make sure that a proper guidance is given to the ACT whether to proceed after having been briefed about the process of amalgamation and the state of the Brand SA in terms of their own systems that exist currently. And then the issue that Chair's laid about the lessons learned and things that needs to be
to be proved or reworked. It's a matter that I'm sure the SAT will look into it. And when it comes to the next presentation, they will be able to make a reflection in relation to that matter. And then be able to say what are the things, therefore, that was learned arising from the new normal that we are operating in, and in the context of the recovery plan that we are implementing as agreed by cabinet, how then do we change the way we do things in a manner that begins to reposition the tourism in the context of what the committee has emphasized, the marketing of the townships, the villages, and the dorpies, so that they become part of the integrated approach of marketing South Africa. But what you must understand is that for the SAT to do that, there must be products that are created in the townships, in the villages, and in the dorpies, so that the SAT is able to say, based on the products that has been created, how then do they position them in terms of marketing? And therefore, the development of the product, it's a matter that we must work very hard as a department to make sure that we create this market in these villages and dorpies and townships, so that then SAET will have then those products that they can then be able to market. Because without those products, it will be difficult for SAET to say what is it that they are marketing. So it's something that we need to work very hard. All of us identify key attractive and marketable products in those townships and villages and small dorpies, so that we are able to integrate them as part of our marketing a strategy and plan going forward. Let me conclude, Chair, by indicating that we want to, something that I should have raised originally when I made my opening remarks, to extend the apology for the minister. The minister locked in earlier, but when the meeting was about to start, she then received an emergency call, which required her to attend to it, which is it's an emergency family issue that needed her personally to go and attend to it. And as a result of that, that's why she was then forced to leave the meeting as such. So that's the reason that she's not here. She was part of the meeting originally, but this is what happened, unfortunately. Thank you very much, Chair.
Thanks very much, Deputy Minister Fish Mahlalela. And I also want to thank the collective of the board of SA led by the chairperson. Thanks, Deputy Minister, for bringing to our attention the emergency that made it a bit difficult for the minister to join us. We did speak to the minister yesterday, and she was indeed going to be part of the meeting. So thanks for bringing that to our attention. Just before we close, I just want to plant something in the minds of the SA Tourism. And I'm very happy, Deputy Minister, that you emphasized this important aspect of attacking poverty, inequality, and unemployment in the villages, the townships, and the small dorps. Because if we don't do that, then we are doing nothing to the status quo, which has been there for many decades. Now, what I want to suggest to the SAT board to ponder about as part of this broader recovery and a tilting towards the domestication focus
in as far as putting impetus in tourism is concerned. I want to suggest that you go and think about muting, not muting of M-U-T, M-O-O-T-I-N-G, muting, the idea of through both the social media and through the modern meetings, webinar networks that we are using, beginning to plant the idea of having village-based people's tourism in Durban, having township people's tourism in Durban, small Dorpies people's tourism in Durban. And those will be our annual events. So we don't have to come together like physically the way we were doing in Cape Town, no, in Durban. So that we can start planting the seeds in the mind of our people about the importance of them beginning to coordinate themselves within the tourism sector, village-based, township-based, small Dorpy-based, on an annual basis, so that when we package from a marketing perspective, we've got some platform that we are using to begin to pursue that particular strategic objective. That will gradually institutionalize tourism as an important catalyst in the economy of every village, of every township, of every small Dorpy, so that generations that are going to come after us can inherit the usefulness, the value that is in that process, embedded in those particular structures. So that from a funding point of view, capacity building point of view, marketing point of view, coordination point of view, people know that on an annual basis, they have to come together at the village level, township level, small Dorpy level, so that also people can begin to appreciate the magnitude of the problem we face as a society, in as far as the embeddedness of poverty, inequality, and unemployment is concerned in the villages, the townships, and the small Dorpies. And then we will also assist in making sure that from an oversight point of view, we make it a priority to our provinces, the district municipalities, the metros, the local municipalities, to push them to begin to work together so that we can realize this particular official platform that will begin to embed in the minds of our people, but also practical. I think, Bratis, if we can start working on that with the chairman of the tourism board and your team at the conversation level, we can begin that. We just need a webinar to do that. I don't think it will cost us a lot to coordinate that, and people start coming on board. And what will that do? It begins to help us to strengthen the database that we have as both the department and the SA tourism. So I wanted to suggest that we start considering that. And those who are from the office of the minister, we just want to also say that we wish the things that the minister is attending to can be attended to successfully. But also just to emphasize the point that when we started the CIS committee in 2019, we said that ours is an uncomplicated, uncooptable, uncompromising, and reciprocative oversight philosophy. So it's UUR, the acronym, UUR. Uncooptable, uncomplicated, uncompromising, and reciprocating. We shouldn't just be bashing SA Tourism, bashing them and bashing the department. And when people come to Parliament, they are anxious and they don't know what is likely to come because there's a lot of lightning that can come in from any direction. That's not how we operate in this particular portfolio committee. So I want to thank everybody for participating in the meeting. We will continue interacting even outside this formal processes because it's for the sake of our people. And thanks very much, Deputy Minister, for providing the necessary leadership and the chair of the SA Tourism for providing the necessary leadership. Thank you very much, members of the committee, for the productive engagement, members of the tourism board, for the insight into the work that you are doing and putting the interests of our people always as the first interest. The meeting is now officially brought to an end. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Chair.
Thank you, Chairperson. Thank you, committee members.
Chair.
Thank you, Chair.
Recording stopped.
Jerry, are you guys still there?
Yes, that's right.
Oh, okay. So we haven't finished the whole agenda. Jerry, I looked at the program, eh?
Yeah.
You also heard what the Deputy Minister said. We won't be able to do the briefing by the panel next week. I also spoke to the DG. It's just not possible.
So what is going to happen now? Can we shift this around? Then the Charter Council then take that slot.
It's still too early because the minister must still meet with them. So you've got to move it right to the back. The BE Charter Council, I've sent emails to you if they can come within 2 weeks.
Because the problem on our side, we don't have time, Petra. So really, we can't have meetings, days that we will go,
committee.
So I will appreciate if you guys can assist and avail the Charter Council then so that they can still talk on the issue of the transformation thing.
Within a week. Sure. I will have to phone around to find out. But okay, the committee hasn't done
much. Remember this thing, the former minister indicated that they will be ready on the third term.
It's policy matters. Minister, our new minister, Suzulu, must still meet with this panel. So they can't come and present, even though they actually want to gather more information, because the committee is also a stakeholder. They can't come and present something if they haven't met the minister. So that's
okay. Okay, can you please bring us the Charter Council then?
Hey, I don't know. I'll find out if they can, because this is very short notice. I spoke to the DG on the 28th of September. We will be able to brief on the annual report, and then I think the SAT will also be ready to brief on the 5th. That's fine. It's just my biggest challenge is the policy review panel.
Come on.
I say the biggest challenge is the policy review panel. Hence, I think I've sent an email or said we will have to postpone that maybe till the fourth quarter. Because that's my big
no. No. Look, what I'm saying to you guys on your side, then can you, because then what are we going to do now? Because this program has been out, I think, since the 9th of June.
Yeah, but since the change of minister, I've told you I don't know. That's why we started to swap. So I'm going to try and see if I can get the Charter Council.
Colleagues, you see, on our side, Petra, you know, we have other internal imperatives. I think you'll recall that as part of committee decisions, that every September, the committee must be able to issue some kind of a transformation report.
Yeah,
now,
yeah.
I get where you're coming from. But as you, as a department, discuss about this issue, please have that at the back of your mind as well to say, on our side as well as the committee support staff, must have ample time to process these issues. That is one. I'm just putting it out to you, Peter, because you know you have been part of the meeting and you know about the committee imperatives regard to transformation every September. It was agreed with department. So I'm just reminding you to say I understand the issue of the changes at the helm of the department, but some of these issues are issues that really are part of standing committee program. So I'm just putting it out there so that when you discuss with the DG as well, be reminded to say also on our side you are pressed for time with regard to these issues. But I can just also maybe throw another suggestion in the event that really you cannot accede to our request of the Charter Council. Because one thing that the committee has always, so now here I'm just speaking on top of my mind here, the issues with regard to the update on the projects on your working
on the EPW project. Yes. Yeah.
So I think that one can be readily done, Petra.
That one is done. It should be done because I've sent them emails about that last night also. So
Jerry, I know we haven't even talked internally about this thing. So I'm saying so that we don't leave next, because that is one issue that is very pressing for the committee. I think even with the meeting last week, you would have had members talking about these things. So we need to assist members in getting clarity, because you'll recall members are talking about what has the department done since the inception of this committee.
In 2019, yeah.
I think that can assist then next week if we cannot get it, but we cannot cancel the Charter Council. I don't know how I'm going to do this, but before the end of September, the committee must be able to, because that's a commitment that the committee has done to the citizens out there. So we really cannot, we might need, I'm not sure, we might need even to have two meetings in 1 week if that will allow it to happen, because of the time pressure, even from the parliament side. But I'm just saying, in the event that we cannot get them here, so let us look at that, but I think we need to confirm that as early as tomorrow, Jerry, to say what is really going to happen.
Yeah, it's just now my two DDGs are in a top management meeting, an urgent one that was also called yesterday. So, but I'll stop.
But please, if possible, we don't know what is the calendar of the minister to be briefed on these issues. If it happens that in the calendar of meeting, if it happens now, please, Petra, the priority are those two. Because you can hear this and the confusion. We have to assist members also. It is confusing. Particularly, you hear the issues about grading, and you can understand some of the confusion that we need to allay from members. And it will, from our side, the assist members, to deal with these issues at the policy level and so on. And there are no things that to go to this year's people have to say this is urgent. So if, in terms of the calendar for the minister to be briefed on these issues, it happens that maybe it is soon enough for them to come, we can then maybe on our side get a look at this program being a living document in terms of these two slots of a panel review and of the BE Charter Council.
Yeah, no, because if I recall, the previous minister said in a way the panel must also interact, as I said, with the PC as one of their stakeholders, like the DM explained. They go up with stakeholders. So it's...
And we haven't received anything as a committee to say when are we going to be consulted, because the committee wants to make sure that before they even get any document, maybe for cabinet, at least they have had it. It's not that because the panel review is called to come with a final document. It's for members.
No, it's not the final document.
Interact with them, you know, face to face about the issues that they feel strongly about. It's not that they are coming here with a complete process. It's to where they are and for members to then inform the process move forward in terms of police issues, given that it is in the page of the executive issue of police, but there are things that the committee feels strongly about and they need to voice their concerns, because these issues have been there for a number of years and there's been no movement. And you know where we've been with the issue of grading and all the excuses that have always been proffered by SHT in particular with regard to saying the grading can't be free and compulsory because of this. You know all the reasons, they've always been there. So they want to deal with this matter with the panel directly before they conclude that. So I'm saying on our side, through here, we haven't received anything that says they need to consult the committee.
Yeah, no, okay. I'll see what I can do.
So can we then agree, colleagues, that I will hold on this program not to submit it in the office of the House Chairperson so that we can get a clarity whether that the next week, Petra, will we have somebody on the what on the project? Ne?
This is a project of the Because anyway, the decision in your minutes was that, and it was Mr. Mateka, I think, that pushed the story. And there was previous time also that they requested these a briefing on these projects. So that I might be able to sort out. But let me first start with the BE Charter Council.
Okay, Petra. Because we,
but now you only you want, if I look at this program, you only want an update. On since when we were there, they were there last year, also about June, if I can recall.
Yeah, and they talked about the plan that they're putting together.
Okay. Yeah, because since then also their name has changed slightly and they're more independent.
All those things we don't know. Official.
No, man, there was a letter. There was a letter that we sent, because remember last year they had to give feedback on something. And when that letter came, it was already on the new letterhead. It wasn't on the department's letterhead. Hey, what was that issue? I've got to go back to my meeting things.
Now they do their old secretarial. They are no longer...
there's still people, as far as I know, there's still people assisting from a department, but number one...
They are not independent.
Yeah, but they on their way there. So, that's what's going on, because they've changed the name to BE Chartered. I can't recall. They changed
the... Those are the things that we need, Petra, officially. Who are they now? Who are they? because the committee is always of the view that
it wasn't a
watchdog and an advisor to the minister, yet they are funded completely and supported by the minister.
But okay, let me stop there, because I already emailed an alert to them to say, hey, you've got to come and brief. So let me start there.
Okay, Petra.
Then I'll keep you posted. Tomorrow I'm in the office, and I'm going to meet also with the minister's people that I just
saw. Okay.
Because honestly, guys, things are still
it's
a bit difficult. With all the appointments must still be done and so on. So it's not easy to work at this stage.
Okay, Petra, but let's agree that the meeting of the 31st will not be cancelled by the committee.
Oh, no, you don't have to cancel.
But we have to find somebody to fill that gap.
We are
willing to swap the panel review thingy. But what I'm saying, what we cannot do on our side as a portfolio committee is to cancel that slot and have nothing and say there's no committee meeting because there is no person available.
That's
the thing we are running away. So hence we are saying the charter council, if not, then the project.
You guys still got to do all these minutes. That's outstanding. Because I thought that there's enough time today to do all the minutes.
No, it's because the members are rushing to other things. Already there were requests that if the meeting goes beyond 11 o'clock, some of them will like to be excused. So unfortunately, that's how the situation it is. I'm sure
they are
required to attend to. So that's a matter that is not in our hands, you know? So we can't force them and say, as you know, the meeting will end at 12 o'clock. Therefore, you have to treat it like it or not. Unfortunately, because they submitted this request to the chair.
What I'm saying is, if we cannot get anybody, then that slot can be used to do all the minutes and other planning and so on. But
Petra. You see, the project guys, they must be available. If everything else fails, they must be available. Because that is a mess. You see, our problem is so tight. This thing is keeps on the move, and you have all these questions that always keep on coming because members are not in terms of what is happening in their province with this project. So I think we cannot dedicate a meeting to internal matters only.
Okay, we must get
your guys. If all else fails, we must get your guys that deal with these projects to come here.
Okay, let me make a few calls. What's the time? 11:37. Let me see who I can get hold of.
Okay, then this program, I'm not going to submit to get this.
No,
program.
Until tomorrow.
Okay. All right.
Thank you. See you.
Okay.
Bye.
Okay. Okay. You will check with this new staff from the minister's office for that proposed meeting, ne?
Now they say only in September they would be able to tell me exactly. It's really a challenge.
Okay, but do we have a PLO?
No, not yet. PLO,
okay.
There's no formally PLO. Once that's sorted out, I will let you know, because I just feel I also need to meet with you guys. Because even the deputy minister's got a new head of office, and I think she should also be involved, and like the chief of staff and the PLO.
That would be great.
Her structure is a little bit different. She's got a content person and she's got advisors. So all of that they're busy sorting out, because we're such a small department, we can't accommodate all of them.
Okay. No, see that what you can do, sister, so that because we need man to have that meeting with the staff of the minister, and so that at least we can know them, they can know us, and all of that, so that we can start. Interacting.
To me, that's important. So once they sort it, but I got to do all my work. I got to do in a different way at this stage. I mean, even this presentation, I didn't get a go ahead here. So it's really a challenge.
Okay.